Hello, everyone. We are back again. This is Chima from Chima Chats Foot. One take. I wanted just to drop a short on Liverpool's transfer activity and just general transfer activity in general, or lack thereof. So if I'm a bit all over the place, it's not our normal prepared pod where we go through things and we kind of discuss it rationally. I figured I'd check in and see what you all were thinking. But without any further ado, I hope everyone is enjoying their summer. I hope everybody is relaxed, and I hope everyone is getting ready for the return of football. Of course, football is coming back soon, so I wanted to dive into some of the speculation that's been going on. And I think that maybe the best place to start is with PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. The Parisians are on a tear with Hakimi, Donnarumma, of course, our very own Jorginho Wijnaldum. And if you believe the word on the street, right, I believe is what they say. If you believe the word on the street, they are in for Paul Pogba. I think that let's walk through that situation a bit. If you rewind our minds back to about maybe 2 years ago, I think maybe three off seasons ago, Manchester United was in the Far East. They were on tour. I believe it was Japan or China. Of course, they're huge over there. And Paul Pogba basically made the comment of, you know, he's ready to move on. He's ready for a new challenge. And, you know, that is pretty much how he was feeling. Well, of course, that doesn't happen. And Manchester United higher-ups essentially either convince him to stay or they offer him a bit of a pay raise. Something happens, and of course, he doesn't end up leaving, and he stays at Man United till today. But it was always an uncomfortable fit with either Pogba and Mourinho, maybe personality-wise, or now that it's Pogba and Solskjaer, ability-wise. I believe Pogba knows what type of footballer he is, and he says, this guy, just like the last guy, is trying to make me play defensive mid. They tried to give him the captaincy. They had to take it from him. He didn't, you know, in their eyes, require maintaining it. But the truth of the matter is, I think Pogba desperately wants to leave, and he has for a while. But, you know, contrary to the press and the negative headlines that he might receive, Pogba, I don't think is a bad guy in that way to agitate for a move. And I don't think that you are absolutely a bad guy if you do agitate for a move. You know how the perception is with fans. You know, you look at Coutinho, you know, and Raheem Sterling and Luis Suarez and Fernando Torres, all the players that left. There's a segment of Liverpool fans that, for example, Suarez, we weren't going to boo him before he came, you know, away at the new camp and celebrated like that, you know. But when he did that, it's like, okay, fine, you cross us, we cross you. Coutinho, some people booed him, but we booed them just out of more of just a tradition of booing away players. Coutinho's not really hated, even though he kind of weaseled his way out as well. So my point is, very few players leave a club under great circumstances. Generally, there's some tension there, particularly if the player is a very popular one, as Pogba is. The second facet of this is the Glazers and their financial interests. It's no secret that Manchester United, along with Liverpool, have American owners who see the club very much as a business to be generating profit off of than a passionate thing that is in your heart and in your soul. And I can't blame them for that. In my opinion, if they've worked themselves up into a position, I mean, listen, if you make $1 billion, then there's clearly some things that you had to do that, you know, were some serious decisions. So if you own something, FSG makes mistakes with Liverpool because they see it as a business and they want to keep the margins tight and get the most profit out of it as possible. But as you could imagine, if you are a Liverpool fan and you remember Hicks and Gillette and that ownership, you know how important it is to steer the club in the right direction. And Liverpool is one of the most authentic fan-to-club connections, I believe, in the world, personally. And I think maybe everybody thinks that about their club. But Liverpool, it's something that's really in us. So we care about what happens to the club. We care about how the club is perceived. We care about how the actual city of Liverpool, whether you've been there or not, is treated, right? You know, so all of those things are into it. And the Glazers are going to look at Paul Pogba and say, man, this guy is still a huge global asset with Adidas, video games, all types of endorsement sponsorships. They're not going to be in a rush to get rid of this guy. And I can't blame them, you know? So that's going to be interesting. But Pogba wants to go back to France. He wants to play with around his friends and around people that genuinely appreciate the guy. I think he's underwhelmed at Manchester United, of course, from a Liverpool fan perspective. But we've also seen him play some amazing stuff. He's still a World Cup winner. So he absolutely needs, in his mind, I think he's going to want a refresh. And he's gonna want to play in the number 10 role. He's not going to want to have to go maybe number 10 or 8, right? That kind of 8-10 hybrid that he likes to do coming off the left. But he's not going to want to play in defensive mid, which is what Mourinho wanted him to do. He's not going to want to play in roles where he has to do a lot of tracking back and a lot of running. And that's okay, right? It's almost like if you're familiar with American basketball, if you're 7 feet tall, there was a time where if you were 7 feet tall, you had to play center. But, you know, nowadays you have people who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 7 feet tall, and they're playing on the wings. They're shooting guards. They're doing all that type of stuff. So the game is evolving. It's evolving. So that's definitely one to watch. I know we went off on a Paul Pogba rabbit hole, but sometimes, you know, we talk and we go over things and we don't always get in depth here. So, that's what we want to do today. Even though it is a short, I figured that situation was worth monitoring. Apparently, he has a 50 to 60 million pound price that PSG are willing to pay. We'll see if Manchester United thinks that he is worth more. Liverpool. So Liverpool signed Ibrahima Konate, as I detailed a couple of episodes ago. Check that out. But haven't really done much else since. Marco Grujic is gone. For a fee in the teens and the millions. There's mooted offers for Sal Niguez from Atletico Madrid. There's been chat about Jordan Shaqiri being included in packages, Origi being included in packages. But the main, and here's the thing, there's a million Liverpool rumors right now, and I don't want to go too in-depth into any of them because this is silly season for a reason, right? We don't know what's what, but as things start to develop, maybe from James Pearce or some of the more credible Liverpool journalists online, we can discuss them more, which I do believe there are some transfers in the works, but Liverpool are going to have to sell to buy, which once again goes back to what we were talking about. FSG says that's how you run a sound business, right? You generate profit and you use that profit to reinvest back into the club. The problem is teams like Manchester City. I had a Chelsea fan. I have a buddy of mine that I know who's a Chelsea fan. He's been at Stamford Bridge and everything. He's a big time lawyer. You know, he held the European Cup, you know, back in the day. So he basically, you know, had the nerve to call out Liverpool spending for Alisson, 60 million, Van Dijk, 70 million. And I was like, man, this Chelsea fan has a lot of nerve. Michael Edwards and Gordon and all of those people at the level had to sell a player. They had to make Coutinho an 142 million pound player. That's incredible. And then we use that immediately to arguably the best defender in the world, arguably the best goalkeeper in the world. That's the difference. You know, I had to remind them that before Man City was Man City, Chelsea was the club who could spend anything. You know, that was Chelsea. But sometimes they forget. Anyways, the big transfer news that kind of just sat with me was, of course, Jordan Henderson's contract situation, which is always interesting because he still has 2 years left on his current deal. But it's almost one of those situations where, you know, you never want to lose him for free. There was talk that Pochettino at PSG might be interested. Several other clubs in Europe would be interested. But I think if FSG are smart, they'll maybe give Jordan Henderson a new 2-year deal, right? Something like that to say, hey, listen, here's a bit of a pay raise. Let's let this thing age out gracefully, and then you'll be 33, 34, similar to Milner. And then maybe, who knows, bring him on his staff, right? Because I think he's earned his right in the pantheon of great Liverpool captains. But it would be a really bad look for FSG because there's no doubt about it. Jurgen wanted to keep Gini Wijnaldum. He wanted to keep Gini Wijnaldum, and he expressed it publicly many times. But FSG's model of not giving new contracts to players 30 or above, it's going to be interesting because the entire front three is right in that 29 to 30 corridor where you're not going to be able to give them all new deals. You know, that's going to be one to watch for FSG and just really how they're perceived, because they've gotten some things right, but they've gotten a lot of things wrong. And for my money, I think that if they don't, you know, there's talk of us $35 million for Jared Bowen. And if you want my honest opinion, every time I've seen Jared Bowen for West Ham, he's been a really good player. He's played really well. Gets, you know, kind of that Shaqiri body shape, but he gets up and down pretty well. He's aggressive. He's a clever player. Good technique. But I don't know if that's the smartest way to use £35 million. I really, really don't. I just could not say that that's what we need to do. So I'll let that one kind of chill for a second by the wayside. But there's so many different players. Well, so Gini Wijnaldum is officially number 18 at PSG. Maybe he'll be in more of an attacking role like he is for the Netherlands. But I really, really just believe that this is a huge opportunity for Liverpool to get themselves back together in the market. After all, we have... Sorry, there's someone actually coming to my apartment at the current moment. But after all, you know, Virgil van Dijk is coming back. We have Alisson Becker, who's the top goalkeeper, you know, forever and a day. We have so many players that can make an impact. So we'll see if FSG spends the cash. I mean, people forget that they did spend $40 million, but I would love to see cover for Andy Robertson. If Tsimikas can't be it, I'd love to see that. I would also love to see cover for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Those two bomb forward all season long, and they're very durable, even though Trent's had a couple niggling injuries, but they're very durable. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode here. I have a matter to attend to, but I wanted to drop in with you guys. Absolutely take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. I'm out.